with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It's a Monday, and Jim Traber is back. He'll be joining us here to talk about the huge story that broke after everybody was probably asleep last night with longtime Oklahoma Sooner assistant, former Sooner quarterback Cale Gundy resigning. He put out a statement on Twitter. A lot to unpack on that, which we will hear kind of right before Jim comes on. We'll ask him all the different angles of what happened and where this is headed as far as Cale Gundy resigning at Oklahoma. We can get into Oklahoma State football with him as well, the Brittany Griner situation. You know what? One thing that I had on my mind for Jim was with his years spent doing the Diamondback telecast, I wanted to know if he had any cool Vince Scully stories that maybe, you know, he could share with us on the air. Also get his take on the Deshaun Watson suspension and where that's headed as well. We'll hit the Cale Gundy stuff right here after the top of the show. How was Jared's weekend? Also, a good turnout out at the Parents versus Players grudge match number 2 on the softball field. I know who won. I've seen some collateral damage from the team that won. And also, that Elk City Softball Festival starts today as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download the Paragon app. The app's got it all. 3 radio stations, the Penny News. You got a brand new edition of the Penny News out on shelves. Go pick up a free copy of that Penny News around the area. Also, Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. We're in, come Friday, 2 weeks away. I know for Big Elk football, they start popping the pads on Friday. Saturday morning, there's going to be a brown and white intra-squad scrimmage type thing at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. Then the following Friday, the 19th, El Reno comes to town. Middle school will have a scrimmage at 5, followed by the high school and JV around 6. And then also you have the Big Elk football season kicking off on the 26th with Altus in town. I meant to bring my magazine, and I've studied up a lot on the 4A stuff with the Vibe. Now it's time to turn my attention to A while I'm laying in bed tonight and start looking around at Merritt's schedule, also Hollis's schedule in Class B, District 1. I know they play Week 0. I can't remember who Hollis plays, but I'm positive that they play Week 0.
I can't remember. I glanced at Merritt's schedule. I glanced at Hollis's schedule.
That's right. We'll get more into it as we go along. So you can find that in that app. Also, Skinny on Sports Podcast, KADSAM.com, or iTunes. You can find us both of those places. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
I am good. How was your weekend?
It was fun. It was very fun.
What'd you do?
We did a lot. Me and the wife went to the city and just had a nice weekend away and hit up Top Golf. And I gotta say, I'll show you later. I'm a little impressed with my wife.
Oh, really?
She's like, it's not. She'd hit it, and it would be straight and down the middle. It's like, I can't hit it very far. I'm like, sometimes that doesn't matter, Allie. Hit it straight down the middle. You'll be okay. So she enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. A little warm, even though we were underneath the awning there with fans blowing on us. So it was still a little warm. Had a nice, went back to the hotel, had a nice dinner, and just relaxed. Did a lot of shopping, a lot of eating. Yeah. How was your weekend?
It was good. We got some. We did some. Let's see. We went to the funeral on Saturday morning. It was a nice service for Miss Smithy. Then we went downtown, did some shopping, some school shopping, some brown and white clothes shopping.
There you go.
For Wyatt and Kara, got that figured out. And then We went up to Oklahoma City for a little bit, did some shopping, did some eating, and hanging out. I kid you not, the reason I wanted to go was to try to find those two magazines. I went one for two, as did you. We found the same one, probably at the same on cue.
Well, shout out to a listener who cued me in. I was in UConn Saturday mid-morning-ish, and before we hit up Topgolf, we went and did some shopping at UConn, and he had messaged me and said, man, Elk City got hosed in this magazine. That's a bunch of stuff we can unravel as we get closer. It's just an opinion magazine. It doesn't mean it's fact. But I was like, the magazine. So I asked him, hey, where'd you get it? He said, on cue in UConn. And I just so happened to be at that stoplight right there at that intersection. And I go, oh, my goodness, what luck. So I just pulled on in there, and sure enough, there it was. I was so excited, I didn't even text you. I called you first.
Yeah, I was.
I figured you were probably that,
yeah,
that funeral.
Yeah, I think I was actually out looking at a house.
Okay, but yeah. But I did effort the feel still. I couldn't.
I've got one order. I've got it on order. It should be here there sometime this week, hopefully, so we can really dive into the college football. I know that's we kind of had the same thing. And then yesterday, I tell you, I'm a little sore. You know what you don't do very often?
What's that?
Raise your hands above your head and, like, try to cut down limbs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm not in the weight room. By the way, shout out to Coach Maynard for sending me some videos of those guys working out for the Big Elk football team.
That was cool.
But I don't have, like, the, what do you call those, the fly press maybe or whatever? You put the dumbbells together over your head.
I don't know.
It's not a move I make very often, so my arms, as sore as they are today, I have a feeling it's going to be even worse tomorrow. Like that second day as you get older seems to be the worst day.
So can I get a full confession? Can I just full confession here? I did something this weekend I didn't think I'd like, but I enjoyed it.
What is it?
I got my first.
Oh, no. I know what you're going to say.
What?
Pedicure.
Yes. my wife talked me into it. She wanted one, and she's like, hey, why don't you get one too? We'll get it at the same time. That way you're not just sitting around waiting on me. So you'll enjoy it because more guys get them than you think. So, okay. So I reluctantly went in, and I got to tell you, I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. You mentioned that because they put you in this chair. It's like a massage chair the whole time. And that was nice after Topgolf. You know, you realize that when I mainly use the driver, so I'm just hitting it as hard as I could, you know, mm-hmm. And then, man, that wore me out. So we got the pedicure yesterday, and I enjoyed the massage chair. I'm thinking, man, I need something like this at home. This is nice. But, yeah, you know, first pedicure. You ever had one?
No.
Really?
No. I know, but I will say this.
It was a reluctant yes for me, but I was like, you know what? She did Topgolf with me. I should probably do this with her. So I did it.
Some of the manliest of men that I know love pedicures.
My father-in-law would get them. Ran into my brother-in-law of all people in UConn. When we were going into a store, they were coming out. I'm like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, yeah, we're gonna go get pedicures. I looked at him. You're good. Yep. Okay. But I know guys do them. It was nice.
Kind of a
no
questions
asked.
I
got like a hot stone massage on my feet. And
really?
Yeah, it was neat. Felt good.
Sounds very, very interesting.
It was. But when she said, oh, guys get them all the time, we get in this room, and I'm looking up and down, I'm like, I'm the only guy in this room.
Yeah.
Where are all the other guys?
Say. Yeah, where are they at?
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah, I bet they do. Friday night, I got a report. I got a couple of different reports.
Okay.
Actually, during the game, I got a pick of the scoreboard in the grudge match between the softball parents and the players. And I love what they put on the scoreboard. The team names.
Uh-huh.
Gen X versus Gen Z. And the Gen Xers were the winners. I believe 12-8 was the final, so the parents get the win. Buoyed by an 8-run fourth inning, which I found out today, there might have been some shady base running techniques in order to create that big inning.
Were they leaving the base early?
Possibly. I also saw a giant, you know, we were talking about on Friday, sliding, not sliding.
Yeah.
You know, being, you know, take care of your bodies, old people. A giant strawberry of a turf burn.
Oh.
on one of the parents' legs. And honestly, if we would have picked out most likely to do that, there is zero doubt this dude would have been at the top of the list. But, you know, and he told me, he's like, yeah, I was sitting there thinking, if I don't slide, I'm going to be out. Do I care? Yep, I'm sliding. So the parents who went, and they had a great turnout, raised just shy of $3K for the softball program. So I think that's obviously an event that's here to stay with the parents versus the players. So kudos to everybody out there who went and enjoyed that on Friday. And now it starts for real today with the festival going on. 11:30 is the first couple of games of the day. I had that pulled up. Let me re-pull it back up.
Yeah, 11:30. Thought I had that handy as well.
I had it, and then I changed. Here it is right here. Okay, so starting at 11:30 today, on Field 4, you'll have Minko and Lakiba. Field 5 is Texoma and Elk City. BigElkTV.com, you could watch that one. There for all the Elk City games all season long. Then it moves right through to 1 o'clock. There's three different games. Texoma will play Canute. Minko will play Hammond. Weatherford will play Arnett. 2:30, you got Weatherford and Mangum. Lakiba and Clinton. Hammond and Fargo. 4 o'clock, Canute and Visai. Clinton and Arnett. Shattuck and Chickasha. And then the last games of the day this afternoon at 5:30. It's Mangum and Visai, Shattuck and Forgan. The Elk City's back at it against Chickasha. That thing will kick up at 11:30 again tomorrow through 4 o'clock with games on on three different fields. That's the Elk City Fast Pitch Festival getting going at 11:30 this morning. The Elkettes will be in action against Texoma. We've talked about it a little bit in the lead-up to that game on Friday between the parents and the players. This has a chance to be one of, if not the best season of Elk City Fast Pitch. They've got a lot coming back off of a team that was in the regional tournament with the eventual state champion at Tecumseh last year. Senior heavy, heavy team. I think there's like eight seniors, but also some youngsters that have proven themselves in the summer all across the country. Maybe ready to kind of step in and fill some holes. You know, it's a team with tons of experience. It's a team that's been building for this year. And so hopefully this is that year that the softball team, the fast pitch team, can really take advantage of what they've got coming back and make a strong run at a state tournament appearance.
That's going to be exciting. I'm anxious to see it progress this season and look at it. I remember last fall they were hosting a playoff game. Don't know what round. It was probably district or early round. And I'm going to the fields for my kids' game. And, man, the showing there for the football team was out there. Of course, the parents and fans and getting loud and rowdy. And I'm telling you, it's going to be the, dare I say, greatest show on turf. Go out and check them out. I think they're going to be really, really good, really fun to watch.
Also, staying in high school, I mentioned with the Elk City football team. Did you see the news over the weekend? What most people would assume or anticipate as the game of the year in Oklahoma high school football?
Oh, Bixby
and Jinx is getting moved to the last regular season weekend. It's November 3rd, actually. I think they're going to play on a Thursday on that November 3rd date. And it's going to be on ESPN, one of the ESPNs. Right now it looks like probably two, ESPN2. Bixby and Jinx getting the headline of a college or the high school football season by being able to be on national television later on, and they moved that game in order to accommodate TV.
That's awesome. And that's going to be full of, I think of the tight end from Bixby, but I know there's others. There's tons of players on both sides that are going to be playing at that high next level. So I love it when they put big games like that on TV, and it's really cool when it's a couple of that we know. So is it going to be a neutral side, or is it going to be at, I don't know, who, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they
because it's would they want to move it to accommodate? Because I mean, that's going to be a big game if both live up to expectations this year. I mean, Bixby's on a roll, obviously. Jinx fresh off a title, that could be huge. I wonder if they'll move it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how that it's still Jinx, but it's not Union right now. It's Bixby.
It's Bixby
as the team that's kind of vying for the top team in the country or in the state at least. And and that's gone Bixby's way. Those two teams have played in non-district action because Bixby was 6A2 the last few years. Now they've bumped up to 6A1 because of the size of their schedule, so that's got to be a district game. it's even more important.
Yeah,
but I thought that was pretty cool to see that that game had been moved to accommodate national television coverage at the in the first week of November with Bixby and Jinx going at it.
Yeah,
on ESPN. Jim Traber coming up in the next segment. We've got to hit what happened last night. Just an absolute bombshell in the college football world, as I know you and I kind of saw it about the same time after 10 o'clock at night. Cale Gundy releasing his official resignation, effective immediately, from the University of Oklahoma. You know, you read his statement and his side of what happened as far as the story that happened. It goes like this. He was in the meeting room with his receivers. He noticed one of them wasn't paying attention, and so he went and grabbed his iPad or tablet out of his hand, read exactly what was on it without thinking, and there was a word that you can't say on there. Now, from there, if that's, to me, if that's really how that went down, and really the story, and there's nothing else involved, it does seem pretty harsh that Gundy reading somebody else's words, the punishment is resignation from his job, and quite frankly, with the stigma that goes with the word that apparently he said. I mean, you can deduce what that is without much really straining of your brain. It does seem pretty severe punishment and a big mistake by Cale Gundy.
Yeah, it about, you know, we've gone over that. That's a word you don't use, you don't utter, you don't even insinuate, and it was a mistake on his part, and I'm still trying to really, after sleeping on it, trying just to kind of process, because it did come a little late last night, this whole situation came to light, and you know, and I could he could have issued an apology and still without resigning, but then, you know, we know what kind of society we live in. We know what would have been a bigger distraction. I think he would have thought it would have been a bigger distraction if I just issued an apology for what happened. Well, then there's going to be people calling for the job, scrutinizing the university and Venables and the program. So he just basically he just fell on a sword. I think that's what happened, but I'm with you. I don't think we know the full extent of this story yet. Hopefully it's nothing worse. Hopefully it's like, well, this was just an excuse it's a shame that, cause he was, I mean, you see all the support that's come out for him from former players, unofficial sources of stuff that just been thrown at me from other people's, and even every player in that room, they were like, hey, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. Even the player that got in trouble on the, he didn't feel offended, I guess. I don't know. But I think he's just fallen on the sword because it's just an incredibly wrong time for this to come out here right in the beginning of fall camp, preparing for a season with a new head coach. And he didn't want it to be a distraction, so he's stepping away. And maybe another part of it was not to use this as an excuse to step away, but, you know, we mentioned, with the program as a coach since 99, maybe he's thought, you know, time is now. I got to go. It's time for me to move on. But I thought he had a lot of years left ahead of him in coaching.
Yeah, that doesn't seem honestly, just and you never know what you're reading, you know, who knows. All you can go by is what he had in his statement. I mean, you're right, the outpouring of support from former players, current players, some of which were in that room because of what position they play, has been immense. And, I mean, doesn't it feel like this decision was taken out of the football program's hands?
Absolutely.
You know, it was marched up the flagpole higher than what – you know, Brent Venables is able to decide. It just feels like a university choice versus, or even full athletic department, or even maybe even higher than that. I mean, you could see with the way that you know the stigma that's carried with that word, you can understand. And here's the question that I have. How much, from a university perspective, if indeed they are kind of the ones that made this choice, how much does the SAE video from 7 years ago still play a part in this decision as far as trying to clean up the image of the entire university?
Yeah, I'm sure within the faculty there is a no-tolerance policy. Mistake or not, place I used to work at, another broadcasting company, there's a policy. You let one bad word slip on air, you're fired.
Right.
No ifs, ands, or buts. It could be a mistake. You didn't think the mic was on. Whatever. So doesn't mean you meant to say a bad word or, you know, but it was a no tolerant policy. It was just, sorry.
You knew the rules. You knew as soon as you said it, go pack your stuff up.
Yeah. Right. For the record, I never said that. Yeah. I'm just saying that was the policy there. And I'm sure, and that makes I didn't even think about that, but that's a good point that there could be a faculty policy that you say this in a classroom. I don't care if it's from the textbook that you're reading from. There's no excuse. You're out. So that could be a big part of it. I agree. I did. But it obviously went up to the administration.
That's where I don't know that there is just a policy because there's no reason to take it that high. It is what it is, if that's really written in stone.
And again, if there is a policy, maybe it didn't go all the way up there. Maybe Harris or the Board of Regents, whoever, hadn't even heard about this. He just said, you know what, as soon as it gets there, I'm fired anyways. So I'm just going to get in front of it and say, I'm resigning.
Yeah,
I apologize for what happened, and I'm done.
I do think the resignation is probably semantics in some ways, where they afforded him the opportunity to resign versus being fired. I think this is the result no matter what, is he wouldn't have a job today once that decision had been made. There's lots of things here. You know, there's the group that's going to defend him saying, wait a minute, it wasn't even his word. He was reading his word. And I don't necessarily disagree with that, but the problem is, it's that word, and you it's just what happens. As bad and as maybe you don't like it, and I don't necessarily like it. I mean, it's the society that we live in, and you know it's amazing to me that if some of the stuff that's out there is true, as far as you know, everybody in that room went to bat for him. It just shows you where we're at. That's where I bring up the SAE thing, because you know, if every player in that room is going to bat for Cale Gundy to continue to be their coach, that means in their mind they are not the ones that are being I just lost my train. They're not the ones that are offended, right? I mean, if they're in support of him with the administration or whoever they're talking to, they're not the ones that are offended, but somebody was. Or the threat of somebody being is where this decision has to be made. And I think you see a guy in Gundy that his love for that university really took center stage with not even fighting it, not making it even an excuse in his, you know, he told the story of what happened. He even said, I didn't even realize I said it when I did, because I, you know, he was reading what was on there, but immediately going, uh-oh. And then as the decision started to be made, maybe this is a way at the end of it, as much as the fans are going to be upset, as much as the recruiting could be hurt, because he has been the recruiter on staff, especially on the offensive side of the football, for years and years and years. You look through the running backs that he was able to recruit to get on campus, it's staggering the talent he is able to bring in. And I know that's part of the reason why, with the class that Oklahoma's got so far committed, he's a big part of that. You know, that's where the anxiousness of fans and sometimes, you know, lashing out at decisions that were made. But at the end of the day, I think he can almost teach one last example for those kids of manning up, accepting responsibility for mistakes, whether or not you meant to make them or not.
Right. Yeah. And it is and he's always been an Oklahoma guy, obviously, since
that's the crazy part. I mean, you and I barely even know OU football without Cale Gundy being a part of it.
That is crazy. That you're right.
Starting what, 1990?
That is the crazy part.
Yeah, 32 years worth of OU football, and it's gone in the blink of an eye. It's almost surreal. In some ways, in a lot of ways, this is more shocking than Lincoln Riley, in my mind.
It is. Because of the longevity of his career there, yes. I mean, Riley was shocking because it felt like he was going to be that longtime guy. Got him young, you know, all that stuff, and he left after 5 years. Okay, good luck to you. But the way that this, you know, you want a guy who's been there that long to go out better than this.
On his own terms.
On his own terms, mm-hmm. Yeah, and celebrated and not shamed, I guess. But all the support, I mean, that has to be – I mean, it's almost overwhelming to see all the support that everyone's given him. And I hope there's a way that he can still be celebrated for having an incredible career as a mentor to young men.
Yeah, and that, and
not just a coach. I mean, he's a great coach and a great recruiter, like you said. But I think the biggest thing is all the support I've seen is like, I'm not the guy I am today without Cale Gundy.
And the crazy part is, in 32 years, nothing like this ever popped up ever.
Yeah.
So it's hard to believe that's what's in his heart. Otherwise, it would have shown up before.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it is what it is. Pleased to be joined by the voice you'll hear at 2 o'clock right here on these airwaves. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you doing?
Hello, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing good, man. First off, boy, your trip looked like it was pretty dang awesome. I saw a couple of the Instagram videos that you posted. Beautiful, beautiful down in Cabo.
It really was the first time we ever been there. My friend, I don't know if y'all know the story. I'll make it short, but you know, when I first started doing radio, this guy walked into me and gave me a cassette tape and said, listen to our band, see what you think. So I did, and I really liked it. So I asked him if I could play play that as my lead-in song. And that's back, I don't know if people remember, I don't know if you guys remember, but I used to do a yell at the beginning of my show. And that yell was on this song. Anyway, make a long story short, you know, we talked here and there, and he's become like a superstar. He's won Grammys and... I mean, he's unbelievable now, and he bought this unbelievable house and said, take your family, enjoy. So, just incredible. And the other thing was, too, is that it's the season down there where nobody's there. Like, they don't go down there. No, the people that own these houses and stuff, they don't go there in, like, July and August. It's too hot. So, so we had just the best time, and we had kind of everything to ourselves. It was really, really, really fun, and I had all my babies and grandbabies, so I had a great, great trip. But it's good to be back. You know, it's always good to get back. Although I got back really, really late, so I'm hurting. But I'm all right. I'm here. Ready to go.
Well, you got back really late, which was the time that everything was happening last night. Give us your thoughts on Cale Gundy resigning at OU after 32 years spent as a Sooner, some as a player, most as a coach.
Well, I mean, I think you guys know what I'm going to say. I think it's incredibly sad. I mean, our cancel culture has just, it's beyond belief now. I mean, this guy, forget about how long he's been there. I don't care if he's been there 32 years or 32 minutes. He was reading something that another player had on their iPod, a player on the iPod, and iPad, and he was just reading it. And you know how it is when you're reading. You know, you don't look at what the next word is, and he said a bad word. And what I think is a shame, I'm seeing a lot of ex-players, you know, I'm not on Twitter, but I saw Ryan Broyles, some others come out and say exactly what should be said, that he's been around African-American kids for 32 years, and I mean a lot of them, and obviously he's no racist, but they don't care anymore about that. This isn't about being a racist anymore, it's about if you make a mistake. That's what this was, fellas, a flat-out mistake. If you make a mistake, you're going to be treated as if you did the worst thing possible. That's what's going on nowadays. And I think it's ridiculous that he lost his job. And I wonder how that kid who has the iPod, I wonder how he feels. I really do. I wonder how he feels. I don't know what actually happened. I've heard a couple different things. I don't know if he was messing around. I don't know what happened. I don't know the context of everything. I'm sure we might find out eventually. But I wonder how that kid feels. I mean, is he glad they got rid of him because he said the word that he wrote? What about the other wide receivers in that room? I mean, obviously he got turned in. I don't know, maybe he turned himself in. I don't know. But I think this is a shame. When you make a mistake, and obviously no one can say that this was not a mistake. Nobody. When you make a mistake and you get treated like you're, you know, came out and called somebody the name, well, it's just a shame to me. It really is. And I feel bad for Kale, and frankly, I feel bad for the Daguan football team. And I really, really hope, I mean, look, I don't think he's going to get his job back, but I really, really hope that a bunch of African-American players come out. I'm going to tell you right now, fellas, I think you all know me well enough. If I was that kid with the iPad, I would go to every African-American player on that team and say, listen, this is my fault, and I want to lead a walkout. And I'd walk out. That's what I would do. If I'm the team, I would walk out today, and I would say, Cale Gundy should not have been fired, and we're not practicing today. And, you know, you could say until he gets his job back, but I think we all know he's not going to. But it's just sad. It really is where we've come to. And trust me, I know where it is, and it's not changing. Matter of fact, who knows, it might even get worse. But, boy, you know, there's all different ways to do something, and when you do it as innocently as he did and get punished for someone who would do it not, I mean, right, the same exact thing would happen to somebody if he'd have walked into that room and said, you guys are all a bunch of blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
He'd be gone. Exact same thing. So how in the world, I mean, I don't understand that. How do you get fired? I mean, he resigned. We know he got fired. How do you get fired when you make a massive mistake and it's the exact same punishment as if it wouldn't have been a mistake? Does that make any sense, guys? I mean, help me. I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, it almost feels like there's something missing because of what we've seen. Man, it feels like that punishment way outweighs what the crime was. I asked Jared earlier, how much do you think the university, because it's, to me, this is obviously not a Brent Venables choice. This is way further up the ladder than that. How much did the SAE incident 7 years ago play a role in this swift decision to try to you know, revamp the image after that horrible incident 7 years ago?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I didn't even think about that, but I guess it could be that. What I do know is that what those dudes did was a whole bunch worse than what he did. I can promise you that. But again, look, I'm not sticking up for him, okay? Because, you know, I mean, you said it and you shouldn't say it. But the way it went down, if it's true, now I'm going to have put that caveat. If it's true that that's the way it happened, then I don't know, my fellas. I don't know. It's really, really sad to me. It really is.
Do you think he lands on his feet, or do you think he's just done with coaching? I mean, he's been in the game a long time, but he's still relatively young in coaching terms. Do you think he could land on his feet and maybe up north in Stillwater?
I think he's done. That would be my guess. I don't – look, I hope somebody gives him a job, but I just don't – I don't know how it's going to happen. I mean, look at my boy Tom Brennan, mm-hmm. my partner. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, Skinny. He was guaranteed to go into the Hall of Fame of baseball. And now no one will give him a job. Okay? And by the way, with all loving me some Tom Brennan, what he did was a lot worse than what Cale Gundy did, in my opinion, because he actually said it. It wasn't like he read it or anything. So I hope I'm wrong, Jared, but no, I don't think he is going to get a job. Hope I'm wrong. I got to look at what's going on around us, you know? And it's just, I don't know, it's just sad to me. It really is. It's sad. I texted Cale Gundy. We landed at midnight last night. Our plane was like a half hour late. And right away, the minute I landed, I had a text message from somebody who said, did you hear about Cale Gundy? And I was like, oh, gosh, I thought maybe, you know, something bad,
right,
like he died or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then so then I went right to the phone and went to ESPN.com and looked at it. And just unbelievable. And I sent him, I sent Cale a text and just said, dude, I know it's got to be tough right now, and I'm sorry for you, but we're praying for you. So, what do you say? So anyway, I've said 50 million words, and frankly, I'm speechless, if that makes any sense, because I think it's incredibly, incredibly sad that this is where we come to. Now, if you'd use it derogatory, if you, in some way, bang, see you later. Yeah. I'm fine with that. Get out of here. Goodbye. And never to coach again. But to read somebody else's iPad, I don't know, man. I'm at a loss, fellas. I really am.
Yeah, and it's the sad part is it's like he knew as soon as he read it, in his statement, didn't even realize what he said. It was almost like reading a teleprompter. Not to make light, but it's almost like Ron Burgundy on Anchorman. Yep. Reading it, not even realizing what you said, and then going back and looking, going, ah! Like, as soon as he realized he said it, he was thinking, I'm done. And that's where we live, right or wrong. I mean, it was just the way it's going to be, and it really stinks, and it's really sad. On the field-wise, for this year, or even moving forward into December, I think is a lot of what OU fans are more worried about, the recruiting aspect of this. But obviously, there's probably not enough time to go hire somebody, so Venables is promoting LaDainian Washington, but the recruiting aspect of this, as far as the team goes and the football part of it, that's a guy that has been rock solid, if not spectacular, for all these years on the recruiting trail for OU. That's, to me, it's a bigger loss on the recruiting trail than it is actually just being a coach on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you're right. There's no doubt that he's been really good in recruiting. Frankly, I mean, I hate to say this, with all due respect to everybody out there, don't take this the wrong way, but I couldn't care less how it affects OU football.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I mean, I know that. I'm sure the OU fans, what are you talking about? Hey, listen, this dude's life is ruined. Now, hopefully, he saved money. I mean, he's been getting paid really, really well. Did you know what his salary is right now? What was it this last year? Do you know?
No, it feels like it was right above half a million or so, in that half a million to a million.
More. Remember,
yeah.
They made him the assistant.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Head coach. I'm going to say that, I don't know, in his 32 years, he's probably made 20 million, 15 million. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I would hope that, he saved his money and stuff. But still, I mean, he's done. He's too young. He's 50 years old. Now, back to Jared's question. Jared, I hope I'm wrong, dude. I pride myself on being right on the radio, but I hope that I'm wrong. Because if this is it for him because of that, it's even sadder than I think it is.
Yeah, 610. 610K.
610,000?
Yep.
Okay. And it's come up, so... Yeah, I mean, over those 32 years, he's probably made 12, 15 million, something like that, maybe a little bit less. So anyway, I don't know. I just feel for the guy, man. He didn't do it. The fact of the matter is that he didn't do anything malicious. And I always used to, I used to think that if you're going to do something bad, and it's malicious, then you should be in big trouble. But just a stupid mistake. I mean, look, the word is horrible, but it's just a shame. And like I said, I would love to know what the young kid is thinking right now, whose iPad somehow Cale Gundy got. I wonder what he's thinking. I don't know. If it was me, I'd come out. I'd have all the wide receivers. Now, if they don't like him, that's another story. I don't know. I don't know what's going on down there. But if they truly liked him and thought he was a really good coach and liked the guy, I would hope that they're going to come out and make some kind of statement, I don't know. Maybe they're too young. I don't know. They're not too young to go with this daggone money. I saw when I was on vacation, I was sitting there, the whole family, I think, was down at the beach, and as an old man, I went down there a couple times, but I was kind of done with it for a while. And I got on my Instagram, and I was looking, and I saw, now I can't even remember what I was going to say. See, that's old. No sleep last night. And anyway, I'm talking way too much about it. It's really, really sad. Really sad.
Well, let's move on then. How about?
Oh, I know. I
oh, go ahead.
Oh no, thank God. Now it popped at me. It was something about a player or something. I can't remember. Go ahead. What are you going to say, Jared?
Thoughts on Major League Baseball trade deadline. Was Juan Soto the big trade in your eyes? Did something else stand out to you, or did something else stand out?
Well, I mean, the Padres were obviously the belle of the ball. I mean, they're the ones that did everything they possibly could. And then they get swept by the Dodgers. The Dodgers are 30-5 in their last 35 games. I think that's pretty good. I don't know how anybody's going to beat the Dodgers, even the Yankees. The Yankees are playing great. But, San Diego, they're just trying to make sure they can get the playoffs. They got a great manager. You know, you guys know I love Bob Melvin. That's my boy. And he does a great job. And if they get Tatis back, you're not going to want to pitch to him. You know, you're not going to want to. And they're good. And listen, they could be a really, really tough team in the playoffs. I just don't know if the Dodgers are beatable if they stay healthy. I will say one thing about baseball. How pathetic was it, fellas, that they changed that daggone call? You know, that rule in baseball, I mean, Rocco Baldelli, I might still be out on the field, like screaming and yelling. I can't believe they have made this so sissified that you can't even, like, come near the daggone plate anymore. And for them to change that call, that's just embarrassing. It's a stupid rule.
Staying in baseball, you know, if people don't know, Jim was out with the Arizona Diamondbacks for, what, three seasons as the color analyst on TV. I'm sure, being in the same division, that you came across and probably spoke with Vin Scully on numerous occasions. Tell us about your experiences with the man that passed away last week.
What I love, fellas, in my lifetime, I love when people are legends or Hall of Famers or superstars at what they do, and then they just talk to you like you're right there with them. And that's what Vin Scully was. I remember the very first time I met him. You know, what happens is, guys, you know, when you do the color analyst for a baseball team, get to the ballpark maybe 3 hours before the game, and you get to meet with the both managers, right? You know, at the beginning of the series, you meet with the visiting manager. And then every day you meet with the home manager, you know, Bob Brindley. So we would go do that, and then we'd go up and we'd work on our book to make sure we're ready to go for the game. And then we'd go in to have dinner, you know, and every ballpark had, or could have been for all the media members. And 9 times out of 10, you would sit down to dinner with the opposite team's play-by-play and color guys, you know, and talk, you know, BS a little bit, but talk a lot about how the team's doing and blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling you what, Vin Scully, the first time I sat down and got introduced to Vin Scully, he goes, oh, you know, that unbelievable voice. He goes, oh, yeah, Trevor, I remember you when you were with the Orioles. And then he said, and remember, I never played against him. He was in the Dangling National League, got to the American League. And then he goes, I read about you coming and getting this job, and I want to tell you congratulations. And you're with one of the best here in Tom Brenneman. I'm just sitting there with my mouth agape, like, yeah, you know, Vin Scully is talking to me like we're like equals, you know. And that's what he was like. He was one of the greatest dudes. He was a better. I know people say this stuff, blah blah blah, but I'm telling you, I don't say it lightly. He was a better person than he was a play-by-play guy. Tremendous dude. And you know, I remember, guys, my dad told me something one day. He said the worst thing about getting old is the people around you dying. And, you know, I remember one year he went back to Pittsburgh, where he's from Maryland. He went back to Pittsburgh probably 4 times for different people's funerals, you know. And that's what's happening with me right now, man. I every single week or couple weeks, I find a guy who has passed away, has got really bad cancer or something. And it just makes you realize a little bit getting older stinks. Like, Vin Scully, he lived a good life, man. You know, well into his 90s. He was a great man. And one of the best things he was. He's got some incredible calls, iconic calls.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the crazy part about him. I mean, you could tell it wasn't in his prime, Vin Scully, but even the very last call he makes as he's signing off, it doesn't sound much different than some of those iconic calls you just mentioned about. It's like he lost a little bit of his fastball, but he never he wasn't Willie Mays at, you know what I mean? It was some of the Johnny Unitas guys that just completely fell off the map. I mean, he was as sharp as a tack at 90 years old doing that.
No, you're right. You're exactly right. And he, you know, he just knew how to let the game breathe.
You know, baseball is a different game to call. I've never called it. I did call a football game one time. Never called a basketball game. Certainly not a hockey game. But baseball is a much different sport for you to sit up there and talk because it's just slower. You got to let it breathe. Sometimes between pitches, you may not say a word. You may just have listen to the crowd, Mike. You know, guys, like, get your peanuts. You know, stuff like that. And he was unbelievable at that, man. He had it down. Now, when he was older, he relied more on telling, you know, like, you know, some of his notes. You know, I heard him a couple of years ago where guy came to the plate and he just started reading off what he had written for him, you know, which is a little bit different than he had done 10, 15, 20 years before that. But let me tell you something, fellas. That's 30 years for me from now. Who knows what I'm going to be? I'm already an absolute idiot. So, I mean, who knows what will happen when I get that old? So I loved him. I got to know him over those 3 years. Every time we played the Dodgers a bunch, and it was really, really cool to be able to have a chance to meet him that way and kind of see another side of him that everybody else didn't get to see. I wish everybody could have seen the side that I saw.
My wife has a question. When's the next podcast coming out? She loves him.
Wow, we had a massive problem last week, fellas. It was unbelievable. We cut a two-part series with Jeremy Gray, you know, the guy who runs the Rob's Ranch out there by you out there in Sayre.
Yeah, I know him real well. We know him real well.
Yeah, great man. And he drove all the way to Oklahoma City, and it was a two-parter that was just great, man. Gut-wrenching. You know, as you all know, he's been through a lot of rehab and a lot of problems, but he's really got his life going. He's a great man. Great man of God. And Jay Pitts, the main man, his house got fried and he lost both of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, man, it really messed with me on my vacation, you know, because I knew this is the first time we didn't put up a podcast on Monday. So to your wife and to everybody out there who loves the podcast, we are going to cut a podcast tonight. We'll get it up, if not tonight, tomorrow morning. And then from that point on, we will try, obviously, our best not to have a problem. We got to figure out some way to maybe get it on the cloud, you know, get a cloud or something, so something like that may not happen. But, fellas, it was a crushing blow for me all week this past week because I was worried about the podcast. But anyway, he lost all his equipment and everything. It's really a sad deal there. Tell your wife, Jared, that we'll be getting it back up very, very soon, and I apologize for the problem.
Well, she loves him, and she keeps telling me, next time Jim's out, I want to meet him. So, well, next time he's out here, I'll introduce you. She thinks Julie's a real special person to be married to you. She's just raves about it. She says, man, Jim seems like such a really nice guy and really funny guy. He is. He totally is. And well, next time you're out, I'm going to introduce you to her.
I'm glad I fooled her. So tell her, Jim, I'd love to meet her. I know I met Skinny's wife when I was out there at Rob's Ranch. So yeah, tell your boys out there to have me come out some other time. I'd love to have lunch with you guys and meet all of you. I think I'm coming back to Sayre in the next month or so. So obviously, if I come out there, I will call and then just have your wife come to lunch with us. I'd love to meet her.
Awesome.
Last thing, what do you think the ultimate result is, I would assume maybe this week, of the NFL's appeal on the Deshaun Watson suspension?
Well, I got a lot to say about that. I'll do it today at 2:00 on the radio. I'm just thoroughly disgusted. I mean, you're telling me that Ben Roethlisberger, who, by the way, I openly said as a Steelers fan, should have gone to prison. Okay? I mean, I've never stepped up one. People have written me for years about, you're such a hypocrite, Ben Roethlisberger. Listen to me. I was a fan of the Steelers before Ben Roethlisberger was born. If you think that because that dude's a quarterback and he did what he did, that I'm going to stop being a fan of the Steelers, you're a total idiot. Now, having said that, he goes into a bathroom and his friends like hide the bathroom and he obviously takes advantage of a young woman, all right? Again, he's out of prison, Skinny, okay? I mean, I'm letting everybody know that. He gets 6 games. That's what he gets suspended, 6 games. And you're telling me that this idiot, this pathetic human being, Watson, is going to get the same amount as Roethlisberger for this. Oh, by the way, how about the dude who bet that parlay card? Now, I'm telling you now this. you know how I feel about gambling in sports. It's horrible. So I'm not saying that he should have been lightly, taken lightly. But this guy, he is a disgusting human being. And frankly, if it had been me, I'd have suspended him for 2 years. I would have said, go ahead, sit around for another couple of years. But six games is ridiculous, and I hope the NFL wins. You know what? Here's the truth of the matter. Roger Goodell should have never given up his power. He had it. The players gave it to him because they wanted more money. They gave him more money, but they gave him the power. And then when he did the deal with Tom Brady, everybody was, they gave him four games for this. Roger Goodell should have made this decision, just like Major League Baseball made their decision on Bauer, right? Is it Bauer?
Yeah, Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, so I just think it's ridiculous. And if they don't change this, it's embarrassing. And I don't know. It just made me so mad when I heard that when I was on vacation. So a lot of things happen on vacation. The podcast went down. You'll love this. My neighbor called me the very first day and said, hey, your sprinkler system won't go off. And I was like, what? Yeah, so my sprinkler system is running. Remember it rained last week? So
yes.
I got rain, my sprinkler system's going on. And so that's what I was dealing with the minute I got there. But you know what? It's better to deal from things in Cabo than it is probably when you have to be right there.
Yeah, and for Goodell, it's pretty wild how it's still, even when it came back in his court, then he punted again by letting somebody else actually make the decision on the appeal. And we were talking when it came down, kind of, okay, well, Goodell's still going to make the choice. He punted a second time. And that's where, man, the NFL, they tried to jump in bed with the social justice stuff and the women and protecting women and all that. But, man, their actions are speaking way louder than their words, especially if this doesn't get changed.
Unfortunately, there's so much hypocrisy in our world nowadays that, everybody from politicians to athletes to everybody, says one thing and then maybe they'll say the totally opposite, a week or a month later, and they expect you to just say, oh, I forgot what you just said. So the hypocrisy is beyond belief. And you're right. I mean, Roger Goodell, the one thing I respected massively about him is that he ran his ship with an iron fist.
Mm-hmm.
And, this time he didn't. I'm sorry. He should have said, we're not going. Before, after the Brady thing, when everybody got mad, you should have said, look, you gave me the ability to do this, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what I think is right. Do I like dictatorship? No. But I wish you would have been doing it now. So we'll see. Maybe they'll extend it. But he should have gotten no less than a year, if you ask me. No less than a year. And is anything going to happen to the Texans?
That's what we were talking about last. The Texans are as slimy as anybody in this. They were renting hotel rooms for the guy all the way through. And let's be honest, in this day and age with the NFL, they knew because they've got guys out. They've got different, private investigators following these guys to try to cover stuff like this up, it seems.
Yeah, no, it's really bad. And, I can't believe that baseball got it right and football had it. They never say those words, do you? Never say, baseball did it right and football did it. It's always the opposite. But it looks as if, unless they give him a lot more, that's going to happen. It's very. And, I got daughters. I got a granddaughter. I just can't imagine. I don't know if he'd be playing anymore. I'd be the one that's going to be going to prison. I would be. So, disgusting.
Well, Jim, welcome back. Thanks for coming on a Monday. We're just that much closer to football on the field actually starting. Have a great show. I'm sure it'll be one of those that doesn't feel like you're in that chair for more than about 10 minutes with everything that's going on around this state.
I am ready to go. I'll be getting after it until it's 2 o'clock.
All right, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
You bet. Ultimate Jim Traber joining us here on a Monday morning, back in the saddle after a couple of weeks off for vacations. And this is going to be a story with Cal Gundy that doesn't just take up one half segment of the week. I mean, this is going to be an ongoing thing as different tidbits start to leak out. They will throughout the week. And I think the word that he used that is sad. The situation is sad on multiple levels, that a guy admittedly made a mistake with what he said, but at the same time, I mean, you just it's sad, and it's you can think it's right or not right, But in the world we live in today, this was always going to be the result as soon as he said that word.
Yeah. Someone just texted me their opinion. It's crazy to think that everything you've seen has been nothing but support. Haven't seen, and I'm sure there's out there, and they're probably wearing a shade of orange, but saying, oh, yeah, he should have been fired or he should have resigned. But it's like almost 100% of his players have said, I support him. He doesn't need to lose his job. I support Kel Gundy. I stand behind him. And he still is without a job.
It makes you wonder how it got
out.
From that room to, you know, who was offended is what it makes you wonder. By the way, one of the shades of orange says, we'll take him at OSU and bring the recruits with him.
Well, why I asked that question. See, could he land on his feet somewhere? And if he does, where? Because wherever he lands, it's going to be beneficial. But because of the world we live in, I don't know if anyone wants to take him on, because then they will get that backlash.
Offensive analyst, Kentucky.
There you go.
With the connection to Mark.
There you go.
To give him a chance to kind of rehab image in an unpaid spot. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But here's the truth. Does he want to – he has proven over and over with the chances he's had to go other places. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be anywhere else.
Right.
He's sooner bored and sooner bred.
Right. But that's true. But he's an Oklahoma guy. Always has been. That high school legend. Played at OU, et cetera. And that's why I think, could he wind up at an OSU or a Tulsa, in the state? I don't know. I just hope he lands on his feet. I don't think at the – now, I know it's real early, the stigma of, oh, that's the guy who said that word. I don't think that's going to be – that's not what he's going to be known for as far as his legacy is concerned.
I agree, because it came out of his mouth – but he didn't say it, if that makes sense.
Sure.
He read it.
Yeah.
He didn't say it.
Do you wonder who the player was? I'm kind of like that.
Oh, for sure.
Who
I mean,
the player?
And how they feel.
Yeah.
Are they one of the ones that apparently everybody in the room went to bat for him?
Right.
It's a crazy story. Sad story. We'd almost made it through the offseason with no hiccups. Everybody have a great Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!